Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Thursday edition. The Cousin Subs, We Believe It Better. Who's subbing for Tausch today? Oh, it's Tausch edition. Also the Trap Game edition and all the other stuff that we spent yesterday talking about at Lambeau Field edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I am Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse J. Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And live from God's country, it's like home, even though I've never lived there, it is Mark Tauscher, the Packers Hall of Famer. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
What does that mean? I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
I'm nice light.
Is that bright?
Is the iPad on the floor?
No, I've set up. It's not the easiest thing here. I'm at a hotel. It's early here, and I'm going to tinker with a couple things. I thought this is the most comfortable chair, so I'm kind of sitting back.
That's important, no doubt.
It is, but I think I'm going to have to go with the more uncomfortable chair, upright. So I'll figure things out as we go here. But
your head looks so tiny.
It looks like you're standing in front of a tall building. The way the curtains are hanging, it's like you're standing in front of a tall building and you're like taking the picture up. But let me stop what we're doing here. I'm stopping this right now.
Okay.
We're happy to have you.
Thanks.
We're very happy to have you.
It's nice to hear you, because I felt as if Monday, ever since I made that quip about, what was the word I used, Jesse?
We don't have to relive it.
Forward, not backward.
Okay, well, let's go forward. But I felt like I triggered you, and you got mad, and we're more than happy. So I'm glad I heard.
Yeah, it worked out. I got to tell you, it worked out great. It did.
Yeah, timing was good. Corey Linsley and everything else. So
yeah, he's good. We should see if he's interested in doing a little more work, because he was fantastic.
We could defer some conversation to him.
That's the word, defer. Well done.
I do not want to relitigate this.
I know you don't, and I understand why.
Defer on the topic, not allow you speaking right away. But be
certainly.
That as may.
So it's been a long, strange trip. I don't know any of the other Grateful Dead lyrics.
I see
lyrics,
what you did
obviously.
There. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we finished the game Saturday, and then I had three buddies that came out to the game, and we took a little road trip because we were so close to Bandon Dunes. They don't serve ice cream, so I'm not going to give a ton of. Props to them. They didn't have any ice cream. And Jason, we're in Eugene because we fly back today. I'm trying to find that pickle place that you mentioned.
Oh,
I don't think we're going to have time to do that. So, which is fine. I could go without. But Bandon Dunes, I don't think people fully appreciate. You think coastlines. You think vistas. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think California, right? You got that great Pacific and you got Malibu, and you got all those great cities on the coast that people want to go. This is untouched, pristine vistas land. I don't know if you're going to Ireland on your trip. I know you're going to Stratford's of Avon. This has all of that. And matter of fact, it's kind of sold as the Ireland of the U.S. from a coastline standpoint. The golf was phenomenal. We walked a ton. My dogs are barking. I need a foot bath Friday tomorrow. All of that. But it was a fantastic trip. We got to play a ton of golf. The rain, we got hit a little bit, but it for the most part held off. So great trip for the boys and I.
So my best friend, who was the best man in our wedding, is obviously an Oregon native. That's where most of my connectivity to Oregon comes from, him and his dad and his stepmom. And so they've played Bandon Dunes a bunch. And I, for as much as people in Wisconsin rave about Black Wolf Run and everything that we have in Kohler,
yeah,
that's how people out west feel about Bandon Dunes.
Yeah.
Like, it is a destination course if you live on the western part of the country. And I'm glad you got to play it, because I have heard nothing but incredible rave reviews. But really, the most important question, am I breaking 300 at Bandon Dunes?
Yeah, you would.
Okay.
No, you'd be I'll say this. That's where this is genius, because, yes, you have all this coastline. You have big, fat bunkers. You're not going to lose many balls. The reason I said at some of these courses you wouldn't break 200 is because of tee shots and ball lossage. That's the thing out here. I think I don't want to get into – I have a caddy issue. Like, I have caddy issues. Some people have daddy issues. Old T's got caddy issues. It's just that's how this thing goes. And so we had caddies for all of it, but yesterday was the last round, and we didn't have caddies. Guess how many balls Old T lost yesterday with no caddies?
Zero.
One.
Oh, okay.
One. I hit a bad 3-wood into a gorse. You can't find balls in gorse. Like, you hit into gorse bushes, it's
what?
Over. Like, yeah, gorse bushes. They're abundant out in Oregon. And matter of fact, the caddy who my buddy, you guys know Jern, right?
Yeah, we love
he's
Jern.
He's been my roommate
old
on the
Jern,
trip.
He's
up and at him running this morning. He is an athlete.
A good thing. That he's an up and at him go running guy, because otherwise he'd have to listen to this show when he wants to be sleeping.
Well, I think he kind of, but he got a lesson in gorse bushes from one of the caddies, and he just can't stop talking about gorse. So it goes from being an incredibly prickly, like you can't go into it, to a flowering, beautiful, soft plant. So the gorse, really, there's a lot of comparisons you could make from the Beauty and the Beast to other things. That's what the gorse bush is to golf courses. But
sounds like it was named by the Swedish chef from the Muppets. Well, gorsed.
It sounds like it could be a soup, right? Doesn't it kind of sound like a soup?
It does.
But so anyways, Jason, you would I have not seen you swing. You would break 200 out here. I feel very – because you're not going to lose a ball. And you can putt from everywhere. The course is literally was suited for me to play well. And I didn't play great, but I had – yesterday was my best round. So I finished my golf season off on a high note.
At a beautiful course. I'm sorry. You know, my specialty is asking follow-up questions.
That's not what I heard, but okay.
When you say you've got caddy issues, which is ranks toward the top of the list, the juxtaposition of daddy versus caddy issues, one of my favorite lines in the history of the program, what does that mean? Like, you don't trust them? You get bad ones every time? What are the issues you have with your caddies?
So I don't want to say every time. So here's the deal. I probably go into it with false high expectations more than any other profession. I just assume caddies are going to be a lot better. And for whatever reason, all I really want out of a caddy now is to find my ball. Because I don't need... I literally have my golf partner, Jern, is one of the best green readers I know. And he knows my game. We've played, no doubt, we've played at least 500 rounds of golf together, probably more. And he knows my game. He knows how I baby things. He had something firm. So I want him reading my putts. So okay. I don't even want him reading my putts. And for whatever reason, the guy was a little overzealous, and he didn't read anything correctly. And he never hunted. He never hunted for a ball. Not once. So I got irritated. And then the boys and I at dinner had a conversation, and we said, you know what? Why don't you try to go the other way and be like overly, like really nice to this caddy the next day? Because you end up signing
up
for
caddies.
Same
one?
You have the same caddies, yes.
Oh dear.
So the one caddy, I'm not going to get into. You know, Oregon has a different lifestyle in some respects from a cannabis and some of the other things.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Listen, yep. Everywhere has gotten more liberal in that regard over the last 30 years, I would argue. And Oregon is probably ahead of the curve on everything other than maybe California, if you get my drift. You guys get my drift?
Oh, I get your drift, bro.
I'm not quite picking it all up yet. Can you outline it a little more clearly for me?
I can't, Jesse, because I want to make sure I'm being respectful. So that day, I literally am being super nice. The guy, he still isn't hunting a ball. I lost a ball, but it just wasn't happening. He misreads a couple putts, and I'm still just being the nicest. Oh, good. Bad putt by me, good read by you.
Wait, you did not really say that.
I 1,000% said
that. Oh, man.
You want me to get – I'll pull Jern right now and put him on air and have him tell you that it happened.
But you saying that like only an idiot would actually think you meant that.
I can't imagine you missing a putt with a caddy there and turning around and going, bad putt by me, good read by you.
No, I said good read, I miss hit. Good read, I miss hit it, is what I said. It wasn't like over the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, that happened. You guys don't have to believe me. And what I found is no edge tee is no good at golf tee. I need an edge. And I think I use the caddy and my misplaced anger or misplaced critique as that little edge that helps me play a little bit better. I don't know if it's worth it, but that is what, after the six rounds of golf we played, that's kind of where I came to a consensus on where I'm at. So that's, I think I'm going to just be nice to caddies moving forward. I don't know if it's worth the 3 or 4 strokes that I might get. So
how often do you play with a caddy?
Like, very rarely. Very rarely.
And what is, like, let's take you out of the equation for a minute.
Okay.
Traditionally, what is the expectation for, say, Jern? You know,
okay.
Someone other than you who doesn't have, like, baggage with caddies.
So
what is the expectation other than carrying the bag?
So carrying the bag is obviously important because these are long hauls. Like, yesterday, I still don't understand this. It's a 6,300-yard course. We were playing from those tees. And we walked, I think, 22,000 steps into, like, 35-mile-an-hour winds. Like, I'm telling you, I couldn't have been more tired last night. But I think the overarching thing is carry the bag, help out with finding balls and reading greens, and then letting you know, especially on a course, none of us have ever played here, so, hey, hit it over this spot or put it in this area. That's the general thing that you're looking for from a caddy. You're not looking – like, okay. I don't think you're looking for fluff, like the dude with Tiger reading everything. Now, I could be wrong. Jern, what's the one thing you're looking for in a caddy? Yes. Yep. Reading his putts and carrying the bag.
He's a great putt reader. He doesn't need a great putt reading.
I think it hurts Jern more than any. But Gurney's like the nicest guy ever. So he's never going to critique a caddy like I do. And he is a better green reader than most caddies. I'll say that right.
Okay.
But it was a different course and so everything else. So all in all, I think the caddy experience this time around was mixed. on my end, but the other boys, they loved it. They had a great time with their caddies, so it was good.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. The folks in the YouTube comments, very excited. They appreciate your unique angles on the video stream that you always manage to come up with. I still am partial to wine country.
Yeah. Your
tiny little head behind the very large, apparently, table. So if I just may ask, so your itinerary is you are scheduled to return to the good land of Wisconsin today?
Yes, fingers crossed. We should be home later this afternoon, and that should be again.
Why,
this
why do you keep saying that like something's going to go wrong? What are you expecting?
Delays occur.
No, I just want to. I want
delays.
I want to just take all. I just want to be. Of all things, I want to make sure you're dialed into where it is. So in case, you know, flights get delayed, whatever it might be, you know how the world works, Jesse. It's a big world out there.
Are you, if I may, are you driving to Portland and flying out of there? Because Eugene is the smallest airport I've ever flown in and out of, I think.
No, we would. If we would have done that, we would have had to grab a red eye last night. And then I don't think that's a long haul from Bandit. Long haul. This was too. I don't even want. This is the thing I don't even want to get into, and I can't. I will, but so we get done. Okay, I'll get it. I'll get
Twist
into it.
Twist my arm.
Okay, we get done. So we have this plan after we see that the Oregon Wisconsin game, and my buddy Steve from UW Credit Union is a huge golfer. He planted the seed in my head to go play Bandit. I wouldn't have even thought of it. I would have just flown, you know, in and out. It would have been a normal trip. And I was like, okay, so obviously Jern's my golf guy. Yeah. So I text Jern. I said, hey, what do you think of this? And he texts back in 30 seconds, I'm in. Let's do it. So then our other two buddies, they come on board. This was like the easiest planned trip of all time, right? And
Sarah didn't even have to do it for you.
No, she did not. So the plan was pretty easy. We were going to either try, depending on what was available, golf first. Go to the game, I'd head back, but it worked out that we could play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What is today, Wednesday or Thursday? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Today's Thursday, we fly back. Perfect, right?
Right. Badgers with a bye.
The boys come to the game, they go watch the game, and then, you know, they could have some libations. I'm obviously working. I can drive us from Eugene to Bandon after the game, right? Should be smooth sailing. I get done doing the post-game show with Matt, grab my bag. We rock and roll. And it's a 2.5 hour trek. And my buddy is he's got a great job and he travels all the time. So he said, I'll get the rental car. You know, I got all these status points and all this stuff. All right, great.
Is he a good co-pilot though?
So I walk out of the stadium and first off, one of the guys, nobody was like, shh. But everybody had a good time.
Okay. So it's a different lifestyle out there. That's what I hear.
They had a parking pass, and it was in Lot 8. For whatever, it was raining pretty heavily. I couldn't find them right away. It wasn't a big deal. Walked around, found them, and I pull up, and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be like a big Chevy Tahoe or a Suburban. Something real nice, because I have my – those guys shipped their clubs. I brought my clubs. I got a lot of funny looks from – some of the Wisconsin coaches as I'm lugging my clubs on our plane, you know, work trip, all this other stuff, but whatever. So I walk out there and I'm looking around and finally I hear one of the boys yell, Yotter boy. And I know it's one of, so I look up
Yotter boy. And
they got the smallest, I'm not going to give any free advertising, the smallest sedan. I haven't driven a sedan in years. Like it's, they got this car. You can't fit anything.
Driving from
in
the
there.
Back seat.
So
old clown car.
I felt like High Barrier. What was the dude in Police Academy where he had to rip the seat out?
So Hightower.
I'm basically sitting. Jern sitting behind me. I'm basically sitting on his lap for 2.5 hours. And then they act like, "Oh well, this is the only thing we could get." And I'm like, "You, Pete, you have status everywhere." He goes, "Well, all the cars were gone because he has a special whatever." So we're driving in his baby sedan all the way up to Eugene and then back last night. So that started the trip on what I thought was a little bit of a poor spot, but it ends up for a funny story.
It ends up being a very funny story, and we're glad you're back.
I had to take my driver and three wood out because it wouldn't fit in the trunk. That's how small the car was.
So you had to play a 6,000-yard course without a driver?
No, we had the to put it in the front seat and shove it in the back. So, yeah, it's something else. It is something else.
Well, we're thrilled to have you back. We have a great bench. Obviously, of Cousin Subs of the Day, so we appreciate Homer and Brian Bulaga filling in on Tuesday and Wednesday, but we've got you back today, and God willing, you'll get home on time, and we'll see you tomorrow for our Friday show, where we'll preview Packers-Panthers.
Heard it's a trap game.
That is the word. Big Cat brought something up to me this morning when I was getting ready to do Jen, Gabe, and Chewy that I want to bring up to you. Because I was surprised, as an avid listener to the program, I was surprised that Josh didn't know this. So now I'm thinking that we're going to need you to discuss it. So everyone, maybe there's more Joshies out there. But we'll talk about an interesting connection between Packers and Panthers that involves Old T after he tells us about our great connection with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
When it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her team at Pella. And this month you can score a whole house of new energy efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month. That's zero interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive. Boy, don't get in a small little sedan. You want to be in a big, beautiful, spacious drive that will sustain for years, that keeps your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Tausch is back. More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So one of my blind spots, and there are many, is that I sometimes forget that there are younger people that don't remember things or weren't alive to experience things. Hey, new angle! Kind of like it.
Mixing it up a little bit.
So, Joshy brought this up to me. He was not aware that in 2000, one fresh-faced rookie named Mark Tauscher had a matchup with the Minister of Defense, who was playing for the Carolina Panthers in 2000. Now, obviously,
Micah,
I know
Parsons?
We've talked about this. We've talked about this on this show multiple times over the years, but the Packers are playing the Panthers today. That game was in Carolina. It was not the game where the turf was all getting torn up, correct?
Correct.
What are your, for those that were unfamiliar with this, what are your recollections of Packers, Panthers, and Mark Tauscher blocking Reggie White, who he'd grown up, I don't want to say idolizing, but certainly following?
I definitely followed, and obviously was a huge fan. Reggie, what the impact he's had on the Packers, obviously, we all know and we've all discussed ad nauseum. But that week, not that it was my welcome to the NFL moment, because I had played, I don't remember, if I want to say it was probably mid-November. It was a middle of the year game. It was a Monday night game. And all I remember, that was the first time I really, outside of when I first started, there was a lot of attention because Reggie White that week had kind of made it known he really wanted to sack Brett Favre. Like, that was something. He obviously loved Brett, but he really wanted to get that on his resume that he sacked Brett as a Carolina Panther and whatever it might be. And it just so happened who was blocking Reggie White a big chunk of that night. But like you said, a young-faced, bushy-tailed rookie from the University of Wisconsin, it was me. So that was kind of the Wildes and the Domofskys of that era would come up and, well, what do you think of this? And it made it, you know, trying to, it was something that was on my mind. I didn't obviously want him to sack Brett. So that storyline played out, you know, during the week. And then the Monday night game came, and this is one of my favorite, I guess, welcome to the NFL or NFL moments that will always stick in my head because the greatness of Reggie and the fact, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm blocking him. And fortunately for me, Reggie was not 25 and clubbing people into, you know, San Bernardino or off the Oregon coast into the Pacific. He was older, mm-hmm. But we had a keep pass on early in the game, and a keep pass basically, and I tell you this all the time, is the best play for an O-lineman because you just try to you run hard towards the sideline, you try to pull people with you so that the quarterback can boot out and you can make an easy clean throw either to usually an over route of a tight end coming the backside or the running back slips out. That's to me the easiest play for an O-lineman. So I'm doing this and I have to try to goad Reggie to come with me. So I slow down and then I try to, you know, club move him mm-hmm. with me. And I get my hands up in his by his helmet a little bit. And I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And as I'm walking back to the huddle, I hear in this very deep-toned voice, "Hey, young fella, get your hands out of my face." And I legit kind of looked like, and as I'm walking back to the huddle, I said, "Yes, sir, I will." And I walked back to the huddle. And that game, the rest of that game, I don't believe I gave anything up to Reggie. We ended up, I believe, beating Carolina that night. And it was it's one of the games in my memory docket that I'll never forget just because I got to go against Reggie White.
So a couple things from that game. First of all, the Minister of Defense. Was Eugene Robinson on that team,
I believe too? He was, yes. Yes.
The Minister of Defense, the great Reggie White, did not sack Brett Favre. So the young, fresh-faced whippersnapper did not allow that to happen. Favre was sacked three times that night, once by Sean Gilbert, twice by someone named William. Last name Williams, not to be confused with last name Roberson. The Packers did lose that game 31-14.
Dang, we lost that game?
Yeah.
That ain't good.
But I had my guy.
That's kind of how it went.
It's a great story, except you thought you won and you lost by 17.
Yeah. It must have got away from us late.
It appears to have. It was a 14-14 game after Donald Driver caught a 32-yard touchdown with 2 minutes left in the first half.
Boy.
And then you guys never scored again. So
not great,
Mohsin
Bob.
Muhammad with a touchdown catch and Brad Hoover with a touchdown run. Well, that's young fella. That's pretty good. That was. I'm glad we had a reason to retell that. Thank you, Joshy, for not realizing that once upon a time, Mark Tauscher went up against Reggie White. Is that one of those great examples of most forgettable great player playing for a team that you didn't even really realize? Like Joe Namath with the, was it the Rams that he played with? Like, is Rodgers going to be viewed that way with his 1 year with the Steelers if it ends up only being 1 year?
I think if they make the playoffs and he has a little run, no. If they'd miss the playoffs, it probably, yeah. I would think so, especially since they've jumped out to a lead, and obviously the rest of that division not very good. But, yeah, I can see that, but I don't think to that degree. Reggie obviously had retired and then came back, and I think that was it for him after that season.
Yep, it was. And he had sat out the 99 season after retiring following that the catch-2 loss in San Francisco to the 49ers on that Terrell Owens touchdown. All right. While you were out there in Oregon, I don't know all the rules that come with Prize Picks. Were you able to play a little bit while you've been gone, or you got to wait till you get home?
No, if we could have, we would have prize picked our own, but I did not. But from baseball playoffs to the regular season football, I think they call it the sports equinox. Everything going on. NBA, you have Giannis just tearing things up. You know who's been doing well? Austin Reeves from the Lakers, if you're interested in that sort of thing. And you got Shohei with hits and pitches and strikeouts. Everybody, you can turn your sports opinions into real cash, and it's simple to play. Pick more or less on Prize Picks. And if you want to pick more on Giannis, that would probably be pretty good right about now. And if you want some flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. If you want the biggest payouts, go to the Power Play. But no matter your play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. They offer Venmo, Apple Pay, and MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account. Download the Prize Picks app. Use code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good
to be right.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. I wasn't sure. We're a little rusty.
We'll get it back.
Matt LaFleur is annoyed. Very annoyed. Very, very, very frustrating.
Very, very, very frustrating.
But not at me, which is always good. Scared we'll tell you money, what he's annoyed with. Money. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
When you tell me I'm a wreck, you say that I'm a mess. How could you expect anything less?
So when someone's annoyed, they usually have a reason for it. Certainly when it comes to this program, when we get annoyed with each other, there's usually a legitimate reason behind it.
I defer to Tausch on that.
There's some real reasons, and then there's some fake reasons, but I'm not going to judge. You feel your feelings, Jason, Matt, whoever wants to be mad, feel your feelings.
I don't think that was constructive, Jesse. Matt LaFleur is annoyed with his offense.
Oh.
He's annoyed.
Kind of weird.
With an offense that is currently, I wrote about it today, which I know Tausch is out there reading on channel3000.com because he's an avid reader of my work. Their offense is ranked fifth in the league in scoring. Their offense is seventh in the league in total offense. Yeah. But they had 3-3 and outs in Pittsburgh, and now Matt LaFleur is annoyed. Here is what he said yesterday about the offense.
It's very annoying. No, it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you know there's opportunities there and you don't convert. But third down, I mean, there's a reason that most teams, I mean, every team in the league right now is under 50%. So it's less than a 50% chance you're going to convert. And it's just in those third and manageable situations, you got to come through.
So are you annoyed with their offense? I mean, I feel like we're holding them to a standard that, like, this ain't 2011. This ain't, like, is it unreasonable to say they're playing well? They could play better, but I was a little surprised that he was so annoyed with the three and outs that they experienced in Pittsburgh in a game that they won, unlike that game in 2000 against the Panthers, which turns out you guys lost.
He wants to win a championship, and he knows status quo and doing things. You have to keep pushing, and if you start getting content with your offense because you have a great second half, I would argue Matt LaFleur's complaints could be, we have not played, I don't remember a full game last year they didn't have one, where the offense played consistent, really good football. You're going to have a three and out every once in a while. But three of them in a half? Yeah, I understand why you're frustrated, because then especially after you see what you can do, it's one thing if you're a struggling offense that, you know, can only complete a couple of passes in a game, then you could sit there, you're just being maybe a bit delusional. But when you see what Jordan Love did in that second half, 20 straight completions, and, you know, Kraft and Watson, you have all these weapons. You shouldn't. Why on earth would a coach ever be content with that?
Well, I'm not saying he should stand up there and go, yeah, we feel great about where we're at. There's room for improvement. Fine. But they scored 35 points, right? Second highest point total of the season behind the 40-40 tie in Dallas. I'm not saying that you don't demand more. We talk about it on this show. You get what you emphasize. You get what you tolerate.
Okay, so what are you saying?
I'm saying that when I look at the – should he have been annoyed after the Cleveland game? Yeah, right?
Cleveland's defense is pretty good.
I understand. They put up 35. They did go three and out three times. I don't know if it was in a row. But again, to me, what I look at is it's sort of like what we're talking about with Jordan, who's playing phenomenally. He took the Cleveland interception. He took the struggle at the end of overtime. And now he's been clutch ever since when the game's been on the line. So, you know, they took three and outs in the first half, and they're down 16-7. And they come out and they go touchdown, 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 field goal on their first five possessions of the second half. The only time they didn't score was when they knelt out the clock. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm not saying that he can't say, look, we can be even better than we are, because that's what he should be saying. But I just found it, and maybe it was the way Mike Spofford phrased the question, but to be annoyed by that performance, like, there have certainly been, like, last year down the stretch, when he was using the word sloppy all the time, which was accurate, that would be annoying to me. This is, hey, we were good, but we weren't as good as we could have been. I was just surprised, I guess, by maybe the narrative. Because for a guy who at times would say that, you know, we're kind of nitpicking him on the offense or whatever it might be, I just didn't. I thought the way they responded after not getting the job done in the first half, missing a field goal at the end of the half, like, I thought that second half was darn well close to a masterpiece for them. Like, they were really, really good offensively in the second half. So I just was a little surprised that he delivered such a harsh critique. That's all. Is that unreasonable?
Because I think you're demanding. You've been through this, and it's one thing if you think you're like an up-and-coming team and you're building. This is a group that I think he thinks he can win a championship with, and they have the pieces. And you can't have inconsistencies to that degree where you play a half of football. Like I said on Monday, we had people texting and call and kind of tweeting at us about post-game show already at halftime because we played so bad against Pittsburgh. That was not up to the standard. It's, you know, if you have a three and out, you score 14 or 17 points in the first half, and you're moving the football, okay. But to play the way they did, that was, I think, probably, you look at the second half and the first half, and you're like, the tale of two cities. How does that happen? Because you have adjustments. You're going to figure some things out as the game goes. But Pittsburgh's defense isn't very good, and our offense is better than what it showcased itself in that first half. And I think Matt LaFleur just wants to make sure his players understand we can't do that against good teams. If we do that against Philadelphia and they come in here on a Monday night in a couple weeks, you're not going to beat them. You can't play two quarters out of four and think you're going to beat Super Bowl contending teams. You can beat middling to below middling teams, but you're not beating the big boys when you give them a first half. You basically spot them a first half. Fortunately, your defense was able to hold Pittsburgh to some field goals to keep it where the margin was in play, and your team could just kind of continue on its course. And that course obviously was fantastic in the second half.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with a coach demanding more. I'm not suggesting that you just accept that. I just thought to be that frustrated, because he had also been on Monday talking about how sloppy they were, and I was like, man, if this is sloppy, then what do you view last season as when you were talking about how sloppy they were all the time? Like, I think one of the things that annoyed him that he talked about later was that there were some instances of the offensive linemen blocking the wrong guys.
That's not good. It's not good.
As a old offensive lineman like you are, what would cause that? That you would block the incorrect person, not the one you're supposed to be blocking, but someone else?
You're confused, or maybe a miscommunication on a call, or not everybody seeing the same thing. That typically, it's not as if guys are, you know, doing it on purpose. It's just sometimes you have a miscommunication, or guys maybe hear something and they hear a call that the other guy didn't say or didn't hear. And that is the only way guys have that at this level. It just doesn't happen.
Right. So that was that. That I can see how that would be annoying. And their run game has not been what they want it to be. That I totally agree with as well.
Well, and in fairness, Mike Tomlin came out of the game saying that was their goal.
Correct.
So then you have to have you can block pieces. But you have to have adjustments to do that. And Jordan Love, it's going to get to the point where people are going to say, and Josh Jacobs will appreciate it, Jordan keeps doing what he's doing, they're going to have to do some different things to him, and that's going to open things up for Josh.
Right.
And that's the beauty of having an offense that's multi-talented and multi-dimensional, because at some point, you're going to be better than the defense if you have everything lined up. And that, of course, starts up front, making sure you know who you're blocking.
All right, we need to play trivia, and we did not play double geography trivia yesterday. We wanted to do it when you were back or the show.
Is it Oregon trivia?
Jesse, what's today's trivia, and what callers, plural, would you like?
So it is double trivia today. We are playing geography trivia because we decided to do which former Brian Bulaga teammate am I yesterday, which was also fun. One of the categories is Oregon trivia, geography. The other is our traditional Wisconsin geography trivia. So one caller will get Oregon geography. The other will get Wisconsin. And I will say we need someone who is ready to step up to the plate today for both of these categories. We need two strong contestants. These are not walk in the park type questions in either category.
Okay, so Oregon is ranked 6th in the country. Wisconsin is currently unranked.
Ah,
that is true.
14th in hockey, men's hockey tonight, playing Minnesota.
There you go, perf. Caller 6 and caller 14 to play trivia. Who did the Wisconsin ones? I know who did the Oregon ones.
Who was that?
Oh, me.
Oh, yeah. I did the Wisconsin ones.
Oh, and you made them hard. You're saying that they're difficult.
Well, yours aren't the easiest either. That's why we need a couple of contestants who are ready for a challenge here on a Thursday morning.
All right,
today.
Well, caller 6 and caller 14, hopefully we'll be up to that challenge. Otherwise, we'll be very annoyed, like Matt LaFleur. Caller 6 and caller 14. By the way, his quarterback won Offensive Player of the Week in that annoying performance, just FYI. Caller 6 and caller 14, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 6 and caller 14 play trivia next after I tell you that if a better sleep has been hard to come by for you, you're not alone, and the right mattress can make all the difference. That's why Helix Sleep and Steinhoffels have teamed up to bring their award-winning mattresses to Steinhoffels. Now you can try Helix in person, something you can't do just anywhere. Right now, Steinhoffels is offering 20% off all Helix mattress orders just for our Wildy and Tausch listeners. Head to steinhoffels.com to learn more. Helix Sleep at Steinhoffels. Better sleep starts now. Trivia is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Hold on, I don't wanna know what it's like when you're gone. I don't wanna move on. I don't wanna know what it's like when you're gone for good. You're slipping through my fingertips a little bit by a little bit. I didn't know the love of you was the happiest.
Tausch is back on the show, not yet back from his golf journey and everything else, Oregon, which we love Oregon, in this house anyway. So, in honor of his trip and staying consistent with our weekly Wisconsin geography trivia, it is time now for Oregon geography and Wisconsin geography trivia.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs' $10 meal deal gives you a 7.5-inch sub, bag of chips or regular fries, fountain drink, and a cookie. All for just $10. This deal is only available online or through the Cousin...
See?
Through the Cousin Sub app.
Why did he stop saying the Cousin
Sub? I told
app?
You that. I said he wanted the app. Day.
Yeah, why did he do this?
Because he wanted to go get that $10 meal deal, clearly.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Jesse, what'd you do?
One of our callers just went missing. So I'm going to call that person back.
Okay, which person is currently on the line?
Mark in McGuanago is on the line.
Okay, let's welcome him in while you call our other contestant back. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Super. You were caller six, so you were the first of the two callers. Would you like Wisconsin geography or Oregon geography as your question?
I definitely would prefer Wisconsin.
Okay. So while Jesse efforts on getting our other contestant back on the line, all right, well then let's welcome him in. Jesse tells me he's back. Taking the Oregon questions will be Brian in Williams Bay. Brian, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, favorite radio people. Good morning, Mark, and I apologize for cutting myself off.
You're the hang-up-inator.
It's not Jesse's fault. It's my phone.
Okay.
Accountability.
As a longtime loyal listener to the program, you should know by now that even when it's not Jesse's fault, the default setting is to fault him. So, come on, get with the program.
I'm a Jesse follower, a backer. I'm 100%. I'm in his ballpark.
Okay, well, I hope you get all the questions wrong then. All right, here we go.
We meet on Tuesdays at Brian's place because he's the only one.
It's a small group. All right, Brian, you'll have your Oregon questions first. Mark, question number one for you. Is this home to a high school with 10 WIAA state football championships, the most of any school in the state? Shakespeare would have said, "All the world's a state championship," about which Wisconsin city? Is it Stratford, Edgar, or the medieval city of Fond du Lac?
Well, I'm going to have to guess that it's Stratford.
You are correct. Mark, while I ask Brian his question, if you could turn down your radio because I can hear myself echoing behind you. Question one, Brian. In the Oregon category, is this. While this singer-songwriter now lives in Nashville, his Coming Home Oregon song is played at Ducks football games at Autzen Stadium in his hometown of Eugene. Who is that singer-songwriter? And Jesse felt it was necessary to add a hint. His music is heard almost every day on Wildy and Tausch. Is that singer-songwriter Ben Rector, Matt Carney, or Kanye West?
Boy, I'm not a music guy. How about Matt Carney?
Indeed. Well done. All right, question two, Mark, is this. A latitude, Emily!
Are you right?
Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest south? Farthest south. Is it Mauston, Muscadet, which looks like Muscoda when I read it, but Muscadet, or Mondovi?
I would say that's Muscadet, mushroom capital of Wisconsin.
I hear mushrooms are in bloom right now.
Muscadet is the mushroom capital of Wisconsin?
In Muscadet,
I should specify Morel capital. Yeah.
So that must be down in the Spring Green area, correct? In the Driftless neighborhood?
Right, yep. Okay. Basketball area, yep.
Okay. All right.
I did not know that. I learned something new today. Thank you, Mark.
I don't want to give anything away, but I also found out that there's an area in the state of Wisconsin. Are we a monster cabbage producer? Are we the biggest cabbage producer in the U.S. too? Is that right?
I'm gonna defer to Mark on that since he knows all this about the mushrooms. Does he know about the cabbage as well?
Yeah, down the Franksville area is big cabbage country.
A cabbage corridor. We found another corridor in the state of Wisconsin.
Cabbage corridor.
Yeah.
What's the pie corridor, though? That's what we're really interested in.
That's up in Osseo. Yeah. Osseo Fairchild.
All right. Question two, Brian, is this. Nike founder Phil Knight is famously an alum of the University of Oregon. In which Oregon city is Nike's world headquarters located? Is it in Portland, Eugene, or Beaverton?
Eugene.
Tausch?
I just looked out my window, and it's not. I believe it's Beaverton.
It is indeed Beaverton, correct. All right. We'll bounce back on question three, Brian. But first, question three, Mark, and your opportunity for a clean sweep and teach us something new that we didn't know. Because we've now learned about mushrooms and cabbage, thanks to you. The city of Rice Lake. Rice Lake, which sounds like it would go well with the cabbage and the mushrooms. The city of Rice Lake is located in which Wisconsin county? Which Wisconsin county? Is it in Burnett, Barron, or Trempealeau?
Barron.
I'll tell you what, man.
Mark knows his stuff.
Yeah, Mark definitely knows his stuff. I just like saying Trempealeau. That's a fun one.
Normally I don't like doing this, and I don't know what Mark's work schedule is. I think Mark could be a really good contestant to write trivia questions for Wisconsin. I think he is a fountain of knowledge.
Would you like an unpaid serious position on one of our other platforms?
He is
like 565 Analytics.
We don't offer this to everybody. I think Mark would be really good. If he so chooses,
I do
love to have him be on board.
I'm going to pass on the unpaid position, but thanks.
I love how he sold it to you, though. We don't do this for everyone.
We don't.
You should consider yourself very fortunate that we would ask you, of all people,
if it was Mark
to do work for us for free.
If it was Mark in Muskego, he would have said, absolutely, I'll do it.
That's funny, right. Yeah. That's funny now.
All right, question three, Brian, is this. The famous land formation in the state, the most famous land formation in the state of Oregon is Mount Hood. The second best known, though, is a narrow valley between mountains that contains the Columbia River. What is that land formation called? Is it the Columbia River Gorge, the Columbia River Gulch, or the Columbia River Canyon?
Gorge.
Yes!
Let's go.
Nicely done. All right. Brian, you got two out of three. Where would you rank that on the difficulty scale, since Jesse thought they were unfairly hard?
Well, the first one was hard, but I got that with a guess. The second one wasn't as hard as I made it to be. Third one was basically fairly easy.
Thank you. Thank you for playing. And if you'd ever like to write trivia questions, we're giving away those opportunities, but not just to anyone.
I'd be better at writing than answering, because last time I got shot out completely. So,
good job bouncing back then. All right, you've got three of the possible four entries. Thanks, Brian. We appreciate you. Mark, you got all three of your questions about Wisconsin right. You have four entries in tomorrow's drawing. And we learned something about mushrooms and cabbage. Oh, my. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
Good job, Brian. You did way better than I would have on Oregon. Love you guys. Have a good day.
Look at that.
That was fun. Look respect between the two combatants.
Yes. Game respects game.
Yes, that is what this is all about right there. Beautiful. Right.
And it
people
only took
helping
us,
people. It's a
and winning
thing.
A Cousin Subs gift card.
Yeah. People helping
indeed.
People.
I would. Speaking of people helping people, AmFam helps people all the time. Do they not?
Indeed they do. And American Family Insurance has been a proud partner of Wilde and Tausch from the jump. And since 1927, they've been committed to making life better with outstanding home and auto protection. Also, you're free to go and enjoy your dream. So insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.